Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 446, Glass.
Yep.
First name Mister, last name Glass.
That's the line of dialogue in this movie.
There is some clunky dialogue.
There is some clunky dialogue
in this movie.
Yes, there is.
Some clunky dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah, I really wanted that to be cooler than it was. Yeah. Like, in theory, and with Samuel Jackson delivering, I'm like, that's a badass line. Like, my head, I'm thinking, that's pretty cool.
This is the most subdued I've ever seen Sam Jackson.
Well, his character's literally
literally tranquilized for the first hour of the film.
Right.
Quote, unquote, yeah.
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 But still. Even I feel like even Sam Jackson, even on Tranks.
He just wasn't very energetic in this role for some reason. I don't know why, but he was really just...
But I guess when
he just sat around.
Yeah, he just wheeled himself around.
Worked with Bruce Willis too long.
That's true.
Yeah, didn't even get up and walk around. He just sat in a chair for the whole movie. Like, what is up with this guy?
He's so lazy.
So I guess, unlike last time, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts,
Zune,
Spotify,
the BlackBerry Podcast Store,
Spotify,
the Plex,
the BlackBerry Podcast Store. I just got that.
BlackBerry. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. Also, don't forget you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can chime in with your own thoughts or things that we've done that have appalled you, and of course,
anyone would have any.
And of course, our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoilers. So
I heard people pronouncing it as Patreon.
I heard it Patron.
Well, that I don't think is right.
It's because you were liquored up.
I wonder if it's Patreon or if they were just joking.
Patreon.
And really,
I don't know.
Patreon.
Well, nobody's corrected us.
That's true.
People love to correct us.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
Nobody signed up for Patreon either, so.
They've all been signing up for the wrong thing. So anyway, there's all that. Let's stick into Glass, shall we?
So, okay. Unbreakable 2000.
I have that Annie Lennox song stuck in my head.
Yeah. What are you, Unbreakable? Are you a fan? Dig it?
Unbreakable, I think, is great.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Same boat, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We know that.
Well, we did just watch it together last week.
And you did not like Split.
I thought Split was kind of a giant turd burger.
I really liked Split.
And I didn't. I don't like McAvoy's performance.
Do you like McAvoy?
Yeah, I do. Okay. But I just think it's it just seems very, I don't know, cliche.
I know a lot of people in the mental health field refuse to see this movie because of the portrayal of the Split personality.
You know, I kind of hate that we live in this day and age because I thought of that while watching this movie. I'm not saying they're wrong, but what I mean is that now our brains are so programmed to think things are offensive or to question things.
I feel like a lot of people in the mental health community still debate whether or not this is even really a thing.
Right.
You know, like there's still a lot of like,
is it a thing?
That's not really a thing.
Right. When I'm watching, I'm like, this is kind of a offensive question mark. Like I'm just like, you know, he's obviously he is an actor, an able-bodied person, and he's playing someone with this disorder with these multiple personalities.
Okay, to that point though, if this, I mean, if we take this as a superhero movie,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that negates that argument.
Meaning?
It's not offensive because it's just part of this comic book movie, right? So, like, we don't get offensive. It's not offensive when, I don't know, Batman puts on the cape and cowl because his parents are dead. Like, you don't find it offensively. It's not offensive.
Like, people whose parents have died, killed in crime, you know, aren't like, Batman shouldn't be allowed to
right.
do anything.
Or you don't, it's not offensive when an illegal alien puts on a costume and saves the world.
Hmm.
You know? Like,
yeah,
if you take it in the context of a fantasy superhero movie, and it's just part, you don't, it, you know, it's like,
but I think maybe a lot less people are Batman than are
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
I think that it's all about
okay,
the more
he's
main.
He's not schizophrenic. He has multiple personalities.
Well,
that's not the same thing.
But
I would argue, I think more people have lost both parents to crime than have multiple personalities.
Yeah, but they don't become Batman.
Yeah, but that...
But they still did. Like, oh, so that...
I'm talking about in terms of a pool of people to potentially be offended.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you... So you see it on screen. We've seen Batman's parents get killed thousands of times, whether it's in comic books, movies, TV shows.
Yeah.
You don't hear anybody screaming, hey, I'm offended because I lost my parents to crime.
No.
Because it's just, it's fantasy, right? Like, it's a comic
book.
But
we're talking about a mental disorder versus a vigilante justice.
Right, but we're still talking about a fantasy comic book style origin or a comic book character.
Okay, what about blind people and Daredevil?
Totally legit. I think, but I think that's the same boat.
But he's a hero. You're not saying he's sick. Here, he's in a mental hospital and he's sick. Like, I think when you're talking about a disorder versus a hero, that's the difference between saying, wow, now I have someone that can be my hero versus I can be a killer.
Yeah. What about people
This is the Beast. He's killing people and kidnapping girls, and he has a mental disorder.
What
it's
about
just,
the people who are afraid of water? And they exploit that in this movie.
I think that's a lot less rare. Or a lot more rare.
Right,
than,
but I'm just saying.
Yeah. And I guess at some point, like...
I'm not offended.
No, I know.
I'm just saying,
I don't know where you go with this at some point, because at some point it's like, okay, well, Silence of the Lambs, like Buffalo Bill and Hannibal Lecter, they clearly have mental disorders.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of people that have those mental disorders that don't turn into serial killers. So
do you
like,
think it's different because in Silence of the Lambs, both of those characters are based off of something that actually happened?
I don't.
Okay.
I think it came out in a different time, but I think some of it is because it's so cartoonish in a movie like this.
In Glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't like Tuck and Sing Wild Horses.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying? It's a scene you may not get away with in 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Because, you'd have a whole nother community upset about that. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. It's just a question because it just seems like one of those things where it's like, yeah, people are probably going to be offended about this.
Well, especially because, like, we've gotten to the point where people want realistic explanations for why people behave a certain way.
And they kind of give that to you in this.
And they do. And I like that. But then when you give those explanations that are grounded in reality, people that actually have those maladies or disorders or whatever we can call them without offending them, because it's not my goal here, but whatever they have, like, then they're upset. They're upset about those explanations,
right.
And now you're using my illness or situation as a plot device, and that offends me.
I feel like it's kind of like Moana. It's a weird comparison, but like Moana doesn't focus in on one culture,
right?
Like
they deliberately did an amalgamation of cultures,
right? So like there's bits and pieces from everything as to not offend somebody,
and so instead they pissed off like four different
right.
cultures.
Yeah,
and you know,
such a great movie.
It is a great
and
movie.
The music
and
is
I've
so
seen
good.
It the two-year-old loves it.
Not anymore. You better buy that thing.
I've already got it.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah,
okay,
that's good. Trust me, as soon as it came off Netflix I was like, well, crap. Oh, Infinity War is on there though. That's all right. Yeah, so, I mean, it is kind of like Moana, where they were just like, okay, we obviously can't focus on one culture.
Right. Because
that would single them out, and we're going to screw this up
somewhere. Their own controversy with their Halloween costume.
They did. And it's just like,
and
golly,
I'm still not sure where I land on that.
That's a tough one when it comes to kids and Halloween costumes.
Right.
Because
I get the idea of, like, it's the costume that we're speaking of, in case you weren't aware, was like a bodysuit type thing that had the tattoos that I can't remember.
Maui.
That Maui had.
Yeah.
And but because it was Maui, they used his skin tone.
Correct.
And so some people were offended because that felt like blackface, which
I can see the argument.
I can see the argument.
So put out a white Maui
right,
costume
you,
and see how that works
but if you
out.
Put out. But you, if you want to replicate those tattoos, so like, so now you put that on white. On white skin.
Now you're
if,
taking the culture away.
And you're also kind of saying that white is the default neutral skin color.
Yeah.
Like that's got its own baggage.
That is a lose-lose
right.
proposition.
When really all you're trying to do is figure out a way to help a 8-year-old have fake tattoos.
I gotta tell you, Marvel was smart with Black Panther.
Yeah, where you see no skin.
No skin.
Yeah.
You see nothing.
It's costume, all, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's all, it's all, it's toe... Toe to fingers to face. Like everything
Spider-Man.
Is covered. Spider-Man is
I
another
mean,
one. Yeah.
Just anybody could be under there. It's genius. So back to the James McAvoy conversation. So that surprises me, Tom. I didn't remember from talking about it that you felt that way about Split or McAvoy because I think this is the McAvoy show and I am like, give him
I'm
the
in.
Oscars. Like
I wouldn't go that far.
I think
but
his
I'm in.
Performance is...
I saw a critic say, and I forget who, but I don't want to steal it as my own, but he's like, this plays like somebody's SNL audition tape. Like I'm just going to slam through characters to show how creative I am. And I think also I like the key, none of the characters like are all that creative.
There's
like,
three.
There's four main
characters.
And it's just like, you know, the slow child and then the hillbilly and then the proper.
He's not a slow child. He's just a child.
Oh, I thought he sure seems slow.
He's just nine.
He's just a 9.
He's just 9.
I'd get if your 9-year-old acts like that, I'd get it looked into. That's not how a 9-year-old behaves.
He has 23 personalities, and you see a lot of them in this movie.
And but it's like they're all just to me like boring, broad stereotypes.
Like, I don't know. To me, him pulling off all these like again, and I'm being sarcastic. And when I say give him the Oscar,
sure.
But I mean like to me, this is his movie. The other two guys, I think the reason like you get them for a lot less time because this movie centers around
they
him.
Cost a lot more.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So it's like this is McAvoy's movie. It's called Glass, but you don't see Glass for 30 minutes, and you certainly don't see him a lot throughout the movie.
No.
But this is the and Split is the most recent movie, so it's like
that I think is why he is front and center.
Yeah.
I mean, Unbreakable is 20 years old at this point.
That's a shoehorn, but this is a Split sequel, a direct sequel to Split, and they're bringing in the other guys.
I would say I liked this movie better than Split.
Interesting. Okay.
But
I did as well.
Everything I liked about it was when McAvoy wasn't on the screen.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really dug this movie.
I got to tell you.
As a comic book superhero movie set in the real world, I really enjoyed it. The more I thought about it and the more like, I've talked to people about it and stuff. Sure, there's little plot holes and things that are weird, but
doesn't have plot holes at this point.
But
honestly,
as a concept, I'm just like, wow, I'm really into this and the things that Glass talks about with comic books and the heroes and everything, what Shyamalan's trying to say. Like, I dug it.
Yeah. I've had this conversation with people when this movie's when the initial reviews started coming out and it was getting hammered.
Right.
By the critics. Left and right.
I'm of two minds of this movie. And even when I reviewed it on the radio, I gave it two separate reviews.
Yeah.
I was like, if you're going to this movie as, I'm like, first off, if you haven't seen the first two movies,
don't see it.
Don't waste your time.
Yeah. Nope.
It's going to be borderline nonsensical to you.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you haven't liked the first two movies, this is a 1-star movie. This is a big steaming turd of a movie.
Sure.
If you're not down for kind of a, I think, deliberately B-grade time at the movies,
then you're
not going to like this. But if you can get on the movie's wavelength, if you're okay with that, if you come from like kind of a nerd culture or comic books and you dig that kind of stuff, I think there's a lot here for you to like.
Absolutely, there
but
is.
But it's very much a niche movie. If you don't already live in this world...
It's a very meta comic book movie.
Like
I wasn't invested in Unbreakable and Glass and Willis's character, I'm thinking about this now. I'm just picking this movie up. If I didn't care about them, I'd be like, this is lame.
This movie would be ridiculous.
It would be. I didn't think about it from that perspective because, of course, I've seen those and we've rewatched them and everything, and I do really like them. But
it's a cultural language, a pop cultural language that some people possess. And I think the people that possess that language and understand that genre, it will work for them. If you don't already have a deep and abiding affection for that genre, this movie is a complete turd.
Yep.
Let me ask you guys this before we get started with the plot. So I was thinking about this as a comic book movie and a superhero
exactly
movie, right?
Is.
Because
yeah,
it is,
sure.
Right? It's grounded, but it is a superhero movie. I started thinking about other superhero movies I've seen and ones that we didn't like as much. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I liked this better than BVS, Dawn of Justice. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this is
a better
comic book superhero movie than a movie called Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a Batman guy, my favorite superhero. But geez, I really enjoyed this a lot more.
Where DC was just leaning into the Christopher Nolan bullshit. Sorry. This one has its own mythology. I feel like Unbreakable is a Shyamalan movie, even in like his aesthetic, like the way it's shot, the way, you know, the way it's colored, things like that. I think Split is kind of the same, where he's still got the camera movements and the color, the muted colors. This one, he goes full superhero. Like, this one from the jump is a straight up, it kind of takes it out of the real world just far enough where, like, I feel like Unbreakable was really centered in the real world, and Split also sort of. This one feels like a comic book movie.
But I mean, if you think about Willis's character, what do they call him? The lurker, the overseer. Okay. So it's like, I know he has powers, so forget that part, but it's like, he's Batman. He's out there vigilante justice,
basically.
Hood up. You can't see his face.
Batman,
I'm like,
or Daredevil.
Yeah,
or Daredevil.
I'm like,
Daredevil was kind of Marvel's Batman for a long time.
So it's like they've made a Batman character, given him super strength. So that's the difference. But it's like he's doing things like Batman. I'm like, this feels like a Batman movie. I'm like, this
kind
is handled. Shyamalan handled it really well with his overseer vigilante justice type stuff, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and then you've got the Beast is kind of the Hulk. He transforms into super strength. And, I mean, so I thought they handled the Hulk with that. And then
glasses Lex Luthor.
Yeah, and you know, he's a supervillain, so whatever diabolical supervillain, Lex Luthor would work. So the way he handled these characters and the stuff that, you know, Glass is the comic book guy, so he's the one that talks about comics and villains and the way that
that part irritated me.
Oh, really?
I don't need it.
I don't need it. Two, I felt like it was being spoon-fed to us in a way that doesn't need to be spoon-fed. And when Unbreakable came out, I think you did need to spoon-feed it to people, but we've had 20 years of comic book movies.
Yeah, in 2007, from there on out, we know comic books.
Right, I would argue that we've had 40 years of comic book movies in the last 20 years.
Yeah,
so
I
agree. Like, people are up to speed.
Sure.
Three, the terminology was ridiculous. When they're going on about, like, special edition. Like, nobody, what the fuck are you talking about? Nobody talks like that about comic books.
Those don't exist anymore.
Like, I'm like, what the hell? Like, and even when there were, like, special editions, they weren't, like, a certain thing always happened in them.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, have you read a comic book in 35 years?
He may not have.
God, and he kept saying it over and over
again. I think
he's
based on when he was a kid and his mom gave him comic books.
But
it's that terminology.
Honestly, when he was a kid, I don't think they had
annuals.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have called them special editions.
This movie's set in modern time, right? So
right. Well, he's older than I am, so he would have been reading comic books in the mid to late 60s.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right.
I'm 48, so I'm assuming
the only thing
he's
probably,
about 10 years
the only
older
thing
than
they would have had was annuals, maybe, probably, and then
giant
issue, like,
which were reprints.
Giants.
They were nothing special,
right?
That
right,
was
right,
just
right.
a way to dress up a reprint,
and you might get like a 3-page original story in there.
Yeah, giant sized man thing.
Right.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking so much of the terminology, but the stuff I liked was talking about the hero and the villain.
Yeah,
and the villains creating the heroes. Like, I like that idea.
Yeah, I like
the psychology of it. I'm like, I'm into that.
It's just whenever like the comic book expert of the film is talking about comic books in a way that nobody talks about comic books. I'm just like, shut your pie.
Well, what about
you, poser?
Well, what about you better not be jerking off back there to the Hello Kitty? Now, that is real comic book.
No, it would be Cherry Pop Tart.
Well, not in this day and age.
Do they? I don't even know what do they still make porn comics?
I just think that like their regular Hello Kitty comics is what he's referring to. Like, you're a creep. Get out of here.
Yes, they do. But they don't sell them. Like, you have to special order them.
Well, you always had to special order
right.
them.
It's not like, you know, you have to go through your
Batman
previews.
Batman.
Well, yeah. It was like, it's funny when you look at a previews order form, which I don't know anybody that does those anymore. But like, previews is like this giant catalog.
Yeah, monthly.
And it comes with like a little like paper newspaper where you just check off what you want. And you
it's like how you used to order your Scholastic books.
It's exactly what it was. Yeah. And there is, you know, the Marvel.
And you have to take your pencil and check the box that says you are over 18, right?
No.
And as long as you check the box, you can flip to the next page.
You get to on there. You get to Eros Comics, and that's the one you know where it's just like boop boop boop.
Eros Comics.
E R O S is what I was spelled. Yeah,
like the goddess of love.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Ooh.
And that's how you knew what they were ordering.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But
this
yeah, like
movie.
I remember Cherry Pop-Tart. Do you ever read any of those?
Absolutely.
Those were funny because they were like they were just like the Archies except they did it.
They
did it like graphically.
It.
Like it
they
was
did
like
it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the inside, but I looked at the covers because I was looking at like old comic books and I saw the art looked just like Archie,
right?
Uh-huh. Right? But the covers were like very sexualized and they weren't nude, but it was like
well,
it
the
was,
inside's even worse.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen the inside, but I'm like
the
oh my.
The inside is hardcore. But
jeez.
Archie.
Yeah.
Do you ever read
like Money Shots, the whole night?
Oh
there was Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips did like a real world Archie.
Yeah.
Where like he chose either Betty or Veronica, but he was like
why not both?
Because he was well, he ended up cheating on one of them with the other. But it was like it was in the criminal series.
Okay.
Find it. It was fantastic. So anyway, this movie.
David Dunn
is back with his son Joseph, who's played by the same actor. This is
okay. M. Night Shyamalan's great at getting kids that never change.
Yeah,
he
Haley
looks
Joel
exactly
Osment
the same.
Looks like a kid with just like a wider face. Like he looks exactly, and I like him. It's not an insult, but Haley Joel Osment looks like a adult child.
Abigail Breslin looks exactly the same.
This kid looks exactly like.
I didn't realize
kid.
It was the same actor, and because I haven't watched Unbreakable in
and then
years.
You saw that flashback.
And
once like,
I saw
oh
the flashback, and I was like, "Holy crap!
His
they
face,
cast the same guy.
His face has not
that's,
changed.
That's
just
unused
like,
footage from Unbreakable.
No, I know. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like until I saw the flashback, I didn't realize.
But when
that,
you see their two faces, you're like, "Oh my god!
Yeah, because I was like, why'd they cast this guy? Like he doesn't seem like the type of guy you'd cast in this
they
role.
Got the guy.
And then when I saw the flashback, I was like, oh, okay.
For their casting, like bravo to them.
Well, they brought back everybody.
Yeah, Glass's mom.
Not to their makeup artist, on the other hand.
For who?
The mom?
The mom.
Oh, I didn't
oh
think it was that
God.
Bad.
I thought it was not the
I thought her chin was going to fall off.
Oh. Like, I mean, she's really 60-something. I guess she was supposed to be older, but
she's 10 years younger than Samuel L. Jackson, which made sense when they cast her because she was only playing the mom in the flashback.
Like, right,
so that's why they brought her back for this.
Yeah,
they did not bring back Robin Wright Penn. They actress to play the back of her head.
But there's a reason.
Well, they probably did that because she wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
But yeah. So and M. Night Shyamalan comes back as character from Unbreakable.
I don't mind his little Hitchcock-esque cameos, tiny little ones, but like, dude. Chill out on the cameos. this cameo, if you can call it a cameo, for 10 minutes of the surveillance store of like talking to the characters and stuff for extended amounts of times. No, dude, get out of here.
At least he knocks it out of the way early.
He does.
I know, but I'm like
Hitchcock started doing that at the end. He's like, I gotta put it in the beginning because
they'll look for it.
If not, they spend the whole movie looking for that instead of watching the movie.
Like, it's great. And you see him, you know what he looks like. You're like, great, he has a cameo. But in this one, when he's like lurking around and then like, yeah, let your dad take a walk and like, oh, hey, did you used to work at the football stadium? And Hoya, I used to run with a bad crowd, but now I'm like, dude, shut up. Like, he gives himself like 3 pages of dialogue.
Right. We don't need a backstory for your cameo.
Put yourself
for the first
in there.
Movie.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So in Unbreakable, Bruce Willis pulls him out of line and frisks him. And it's M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like when he says, I'm surprised he didn't be like, hey, yeah, you patted me down. You racist bastard. Like, there was no reason for
it. But he did have stuff. He ditched it in the bathroom.
He gave it to the other guy. He had it, put it in the bathroom, and the other guy grabbed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was still a bad guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right,
he
did have. But nobody knows that. Like, from the surface, Bruce Willis just pulls the Indian, the Indian guy out of line, pats him down, and he doesn't have anything on him, and just go about your
as
day.
As what it seems, but they both knew he was a bad guy.
Yes,
so.
So yeah, so we open up.
God, I'm glad they didn't go into 15 minutes of racial profiling.
He's like, I should have got you fired.
Yeah, but I forgive you because now this is the religion that I've joined. We learn in page 13.
Like, the Scientologist.
Yeah.
So it's Dunn Securities. David and his son Joseph, I guess, have moved from San Francisco to Philadelphia.
So it's Batman and Oracle. Have a security shop.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there he's Bruce Willis is kind of just doing his thing around the city.
Yeah.
He's started to garner an internet presence. where people are kind of catching glimpses of him, but not really.
I like it when they incorporate things like this, because, you know, in the real world with all the cell phone cameras and stuff, you like, okay, so in, you know, 89's Batman, we're not going to see a lot of Batman footage because there's
he took the film.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, in this day and age, you better believe someone's snapping cell phone photos.
Or CCTV cameras.
Yeah, so I like it when they update things to a modern sensibility. Like, yeah, you're not going to get away with no cameras. The reverse of that is in movies where it's like no one has pictures of people, and you're like, how has no one gotten a picture?
What drives me crazy sometimes is these heroes, superheroes that don't wear gloves. Like, you know, fingerprints are a thing.
They need to start making like a character where part of his superpowers is he can't be photographed.
That's Superman and the Flash. They just vibrate real fast. That's the thing.
That was it?
Yeah.
I've never came across that as a superhero.
Yeah, yeah. In the Flash, he never, at least in the Mark Waid stuff, he would always vibrate.
I don't remember that.
He would always vibrate just enough to where you couldn't really see his face.
Gotcha.
And Superman would do that as Clark Kent. Like, he would vibrate just enough where, like, you, the picture would be, you couldn't tell that it was Superman in pictures.
I'm glad in real life he's got it covered, though.
He's good.
He looks a lot different.
Yeah, totally different. He walks different. That's how you tell.
So
anyway, so he's, you know, then this report comes on. They're tracking the beast. Basically, is that there's these three spots in Philadelphia where these girls have gone missing, or they found these girls, and Joseph apparently is a genius. Like, where he's just like, you know, they say he's in this little area, but I think he's over here.
I really like this story element. So in Unbreakable, that, you know, we just talked about on Patreon is with our commentary. So the kid is like, he knows, he believes his dad's a superhero, and the dad doesn't believe it. He ends up convincing him, you know, and all this. And I like it that they didn't just like give this kid a cameo. We're like, okay, now he grew up and he's a lawyer, and he's like, dad, that's silly stuff, whatever. I like that they now have teamed up and the kid and him have this thing. Like,
Batman,
I really,
and Robin.
I like how
I feel
like
he's solid too. Like, I don't feel like, is he still a working actor?
I mean, last time I saw him was in the remake of The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Okay.
I think he's one of the, like, an actor that does stuff,
but more like B-level stuff.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was like,
I
he was good.
Him.
Yeah, I was, because as soon as I saw him, I was like, something didn't seem like quite right.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
I mean?
Sure.
I was just like, why did they cast this guy? And then when I figured it out, then I was like, oh, is he going to be able to really handle working at this level? But I thought he
was good.
Yeah,
you know what always throws me off when I see him, and I thought he was really good in this too, but like, he has really dark irises, and so they kind of like blend in with his pupils, and like, his eyes look very dilated all the time because the color's just so dark.
He's hyper focused,
and so it's just when you see him at first glance, he just looks like he is, like, his eyes are dilated, which they're not. He just has dark eyes, right? And so I just, when I always see him, and I have to get used to it for a second, because I'm like, something's off about
what's
this
wrong with your face.
So, but no, he's good. I liked him in this. But their relationship, I thought, was cool. It's like, so instead of evolving into some generic thing, it's like, no, now they've teamed
they're
up
partners,
and they're using his abilities, and he has, you know, he's a smart kid, and he's learned all these different computers, and they work together to solve crimes. You got the brains and the brawn.
Right, exactly. So they're tracking the beast. And the Joseph kind of says, like, look, I don't think he's in this area. Like, I think he's probably
somewhere easy access.
Yeah. So Bruce Willis and the cops are kind of onto Bruce Willis. And Joseph is just kind of like, we may want to back off a little bit just to take the heat off a little bit. And then we'll go back to it.
But there's an abandoned warehouse district. And so it's like, this has easy access. It's abandoned. So I think it's somewhere in here.
Right. And I think a report has come out about the description of this, of who they think is kidnapping these girls. It's very vague, but still it's there. So Bruce Willis kind of goes for a walk. And I do like the scene where he's like, I'm going to go for a walk. And the kid's like, nah, I don't think you need to do that. I think you just hang out here for a while. He's like, I'm going for a walk.
Let your dad go for a walk, man.
Yeah, I did. So like, I don't mind that line because like, it would be super awkward for that customer where like your father and son are arguing in front of you. Yeah. And the guy's just like, I'm just, let him go for a walk.
I would have liked it if he had seen through the whole ruse. He'd be like, let your dad go fight crime as a vigilante.
So he goes and he's walking. You know, he walks right through a group of people. And
well, because there's like, I think they're like warehouse workers from that district.
Yeah,
so he's bumping into them. Nothing.
And then finally he bumps into, okay. There is a scene earlier where James McAvoy is the 9-year-old. And we see these four cheerleaders chained up to a pipe, and he's telling them about the beast, and the beast is coming, and he gets to be the one. He's like, he's, I do like where he's like, I gotta take these skates off because if he shows up in these skates, he's gonna be pissed. And I do like I enjoy that. I like that they all know what's going on, and they like he has to play it in a way where it's just like, if the beast shows up in these skates, I'm in trouble, and I don't want. So I like that.
So we're gonna have to spoil Split. So go watch that if you haven't yet. You really should watch it.
You need to watch.
So the deal. So the deal is, spoiler: at the end of the movie, we find out that the child who evolves, McAvoy's character, was abused as a child, and so he only kills people who have not been abused, basically.
Right.
So like, if you've been abused, he relates to you and he wants to save you. He's protecting the abused from the other people of the world who,
right,
you know, make fun, who abuse people, whatever. So these four girls, he's like, you are not the chosen ones.
You're perfect.
There's an impure. I don't know how he worded it, but
the main girl gets away because she ends up taking off like her, not her top, but like she's wearing like a shirt. She takes her shirt off.
Right.
And he sees all
like her scars.
He's like, oh, yeah, you've been
she's
abused.
Scarred.
Yeah.
Like she's all scarred up, and he leaves.
Yeah.
And that's how she gets away.
Yeah. So
because she's,
yeah. So however he words it, he says to these girls, like, you are not the chosen ones or whatever. So you know, the beast is going to come. And yeah.
So Bruce Willis. So we cut back to Bruce Willis walking around, and he just happens. Everybody kind of
dissipates.
He's
coming back from a bum fight, I think. He like goes to an alley.
And, you know, I jokingly said that I dress like Bruce Willis in Unbreakable, like current day.
Yeah.
I dress like I'm Bruce Willis in this movie in current day.
Yeah.
Like, the more I look, I was like, God dang it. Like, apparently Bruce Willis is my fashion icon.
You wear a rain poncho?
I do all the time. Yeah.
Only when he fights crime.
Only when I fight crime, yeah. It rained a lot the other night, and I didn't have a choice.
There you go.
So he bumps into McAvoy, and he immediately sees the four dead cheerleaders. And I do like where he's just like,
well, they're not dead.
He sees the old one.
No, they're
one.
Like, oh, knocked the old out. One. No, I think they were just knocked out in chairs. He sees.
Yeah, but why would they be in chairs and then be in on
I don't
a pipe
know.
Later?
Maybe so that's when he first got. I don't know. I just took it as it was them like passed out in chairs. He doesn't see the future, does he?
No.
So
he
it wouldn't
the
be
past.
The, okay.
So I took that as. Because,
oh, maybe they were.
Because the other, there was all, I think it was cheerleaders at each one. Like, each of those three spots, I felt like it was cheerleaders.
There were four, just like there were currently, but they were in chairs. But, like, I didn't see blood, but they were, like, they were passed out or something, you know? So,
right.
I don't know.
I thought they were dead.
Okay.
Either way,
it's four cheerleaders. He's looking for cheerleaders.
Right. I assume they were passed, because it's weird if they were all dead and all still sitting in chairs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fair.
I think he maybe kidnapped them and they were passed out.
Or just sleeping.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he sees a mound of brick.
Well, yeah,
dust
he sees like
something?
Red. He's,
like,
yeah, he sees like
red clay.
Red clay,
yeah.
And they start looking. You know, red clay. There's a building right here. Mm-hmm. This guy's got red clay all over his pants. So Bruce Willis suits up, goes and gets the girls out. While he's getting the girls out, the beast shows up.
I like how McAvoy plays this character too, because he's just so weird. The way he's like. You know, he's like, oh, sorry, bro, or whatever. And then he, like, goes and kicks a thing, and then he runs away. Like, it's just weird. His portrayal is very, like, erratic and strange, and I don't know.
And then he fights the beast, and this is the first time the beast has been tested, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
toe-to-toe. They're
holding
his
own.
I will say the sound mixing in this movie is awesome. I saw this on one of the bigger screens in St. Louis. You know, huge screen, really good sound system. It was loud in a good way, and, like, man, every time that one of them slammed each other into one of those columns and you could hear it shake.
Yeah, I like this fight. There
was a good,
there are things I like about this movie.
Sure.
Yeah. So like, I mean, like the sound mixing throughout the whole movie, when it comes to water, everything, the sound mixing is top notch.
Right.
Sounded
so
great.
Yeah. So big fight, girls get away. Bruce Willis pops the whatever like pipe they were on.
I like it. The beast throws a table at Willis. Willis
catches
it,
the table,
you know,
but here's the cool part.
And
is,
it throws it back.
Yeah. I like the, I appreciate the camera work where he protects Bruce, his actor.
Yeah.
Because you never see him catch the table.
No, it's all cuts. Not cuts. It's all off camera stuff.
Yes.
Practical. So they don't
basically
do much. They don't do CG trickery, but they also, they film it in a practical way where you don't see it, but it infers it fine. Like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when the beast transforms every single time, it's either in the background blurred out or he goes off camera and comes up. Like, it's all practical. I like that. You don't see a weird CG transformation. One, the budget would have been higher. Blumhouse doesn't do that.
He
and two,
like, here's your personal trainer. Get jacked. And then that's all we need
to do. I had to think, I'm like, every time he turns into the Beast, McAvoy's off camera doing 50 push-ups, right? Like, because he's like pumped. Like, I bet you he did. I bet you he worked out. They probably had a weight bench right off camera, you know, because his blood's going to his muscles, you know, but it's all practical. Yeah, there's some CG, like blue veins, because you see him fade and stuff. So they do some of that. But I think a transformation into the Beast would have been, it would have looked weird, right?
Well, we saw what the Beast looked like already in Split.
But so I just mean, if he did it on camera and saw his muscles bulging up or whatever, like, if they did that with CG,
you'd probably
get that uncanny valley where you're like, ugh. It's not as much of a change to where they need to do that, and I like how he would just fall off camera. I mean, it's like they used to do in movies all the time where someone jumps behind a couch and then they get up from
the... It's a Lou Frigno effect.
Yeah, it's just off camera.
It's Wolfman.
It is Wolfman. Yeah, absolutely it is.
Well, except for the one where they transformed.
But well, in the Universal Wolfman, it's just, it's a time lapse camera where they're just like,
yeah, I'm talking about like old school Universal.
But in the newer, not the new one, but in the like, I think it was like 70s or something, they made the like electronic. Like
you talking about American Werewolf in London?
Maybe that's where it actually
the Rick Baker stuff.
Yeah,
he won the Oscar for that.
Right, like that was
right. He did
his face turn into a snout.
That's so
cool. I'm talking about the old school, like from the 40s,
where it's just like we'll put a little bit here and then we'll pause it. We'll put a little bit here.
Or
we'll
he'd walk behind a pillar and then come out the other side with more.
Right into a phone booth and out of a phone booth in an outfit
and Home Before Dark.
We have to,
yeah,
because that's werewolves bad news.
But that's Shyamalan using practical directing skills, and I thought it worked great. So you're right, like you see McAvoy throw a table and the camera moves to him and he's holding a table. We never see him catch it, but you're just like,
but it's cut in a way that it feels like he caught it. Like, you know,
and,
like,
and the sound, because you hear it and you instantly, the camera pans to him. And
well,
what
they do is you see McAvoy throw the table and the camera
moves
like the table's already gone past,
and
the camera moves
you
quickly
catch up
with
to
it, and then Bruce Willis has already got the
and
table
that's
in his
the thing
hand.
Too is it's not quick cuts. It's not cut, it's just moved, it's camera movements. That's the difference, because when you do quick cuts you're like, oh, that's cheap action. But in this they do it to where McAvoy throws the table probably off camera. Bruce Willis is already holding a table, just practical, and so they pan over and he's got it. You're none the wiser. There's a second table behind the camera.
Sure.
So, you know, so it's cool.
Right.
Yeah. They do that all movie.
The whole thing. Yeah. So the cheerleaders get away. McAvoy and Bruce Willis are fighting, and they fall out of a window.
And this is smart, because David's indestructible, unbreakable, if you will. And so it's like, so how are you going to fight this guy or beat him? Like, run out a window, you're not going to get hurt.
Right.
But if he falls onto him, he's going to hurt
the beast.
So, yeah.
And they just happen to fall into some water, and Bruce Willis, we know that Bruce Willis's weakness is water.
He must smell awful.
Awful. Telling you.
Yeah.
That's true. They never address how he... bathes.
I feel like it must be just like
submersion in water, right?
Like he's
like not
pool.
Like he can still fight crime in the rain.
Yes, which he does a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
So then they fall out, and then they come to, and there are cops everywhere. Yeah. And then we're introduced to Sarah Paulson's character, where she
cops quote unquote.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? And once they give you the reveal, it kind of like Replicas. It fills those plot holes where
you're
just
like,
what?
Because I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, why would cops do this or that or whatever?
Or
I'm
where
like,
did
this
she
is
come
a,
from?
This is a weird procedure, like the way that they're doing things. But,
right.
They might not be playing by the rules.
Correct.
Okay.
So Sarah Paulson kind of says, I'm Dr. whatever her name is. You can either, like, you can get away because they've already detained the Beast at this point.
Her name was Sarah Paulson.
Did I say Sarah Paulson?
Her name was Sarah Paulson.
Oh, yeah. She kind of says, you can get out of here. You're going to hurt some police officers in the process, and you don't really want to do that. And he was like, fine. So they take him to Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're finally reintroduced to Elijah. Is there.
Eventually. Takes a while.
We find out that like there are specialized cells for... Which, again, I was just like, why do they have specialized cells for these people already?
How about for her to come in for 3 days?
The 3 days thing was kind of...
Like, I have 3 days to convince them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
But it makes sense in the end, because this spoilers, there is a
secret organization.
Secret organization behind this thing, and they have a thing that they do to keep the world safe, quote unquote, in their mind.
Right.
And they have a certain time limit that they put, and if not, then it's
we take
goodbye.
Care of business.
So we'll get into that, but it's like, but you're right, the plot holes, quote unquote, the questions are starting to fill themselves out once
right.
you've seen it. I think this movie on a second viewing, it would be neat to go back and watch Knowing.
Yeah.
It's like watching Westworld after you've seen
it. I don't need to watch Knowing ever again.
Yeah.
That's good scenes and bad movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That plane crash scene.
That's good stuff.
Is that Nick Cage?
That's Nick Cage.
Because The Happening is Mark Wahlberg.
That movie
that's
was
Shyamalan.
Really close to being an amazing movie. It just didn't stick the landing.
I never saw it. I don't know.
Like it got it really
it's really bad.
Yeah, but it's like I really liked what it was where it was going, but it just
who directed that?
I don't know.
I can't
question.
Think of who did that. But I've never seen The Happening either, which is Shyamalan.
I've never seen it either.
Man, they made a big deal. They're like, this is his first rated R movie. It's gonna. I'm like, all right, am I Shyamalan doing a little bit of rated R horror?
Is
Let's
that
do
people
it.
Just die, right?
They're killing themselves.
Because of plants.
The plants are emitting like a pheromone.
Okay.
It's bird box. Because
there's always a spoiler.
It's the plants.
Is that the spoiler at the
it's
end,
the
though?
Plants.
They
yeah.
find out. Okay.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Okay.
Sorry, from 2008,
so
I think.
So is Knowing then where they just drop dead? Maybe I'm thinking of The Happening. One of them I know because I haven't seen it.
They kill it like the people jumping in front of cars and like, stabbing themselves in the neck. It's Bird Box.
Knowing is where he knows he's like seen like the end of the world type stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a great scene where he's driving a plane crashes. I think it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's like
fantastic.
It's like kind of all one take.
Yeah.
And it's
interesting.
Great.
So just watch the plane scene. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So yeah. So they have these special. So in David's in Bruce Willis's cell, it's if he comes anywhere near the walls in an aggressive manner, he is flooded with water.
Yeah,
immediately. In Kevin Crumb in James McAvoy's,
just don't say his full name.
Yeah, well,
three times.
No, I want to say
he'll appear.
That's the point. You want him to appear. You don't.
But three times he appears.
Well, you want him like you want the main character to show
okay.
up. You, it's the other ones you don't want there. They have these special flood like strobe lights. That will force a change in the personality.
I'm going to ruin this for you right now, thanks to Brad Hyen. I'm like, don't ruin this movie for me. I told him I really enjoyed it. He gave it a C, I think, his reviews on ReviewSTL.com.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me know what you think of it. And I'm like, I really dug this movie. And so we started talking about it, and he goes, why doesn't he just close his eyes?
I just think it's that bright.
I think it's that bright that doesn't matter.
Oh.
You see how many lights were there?
Yeah, there was
I
like
get that it maybe goes through your eyelids or whatever. I'm just like,
but point taken. I don't think closing your eyes would be enough. But I
cover
think,
your eyes.
I think
head down, closed eyes, or
head down,
hands over your eyes,
using the
pillow.
Yeah, using
yeah,
the pillow
just,
and the bedding. Like I think you could probably.
I'm just yeah. It just. The fact is, it seems like you could probably cover your eyes in one way or another. And I'm like, damn it, that's such an easy. Plot hole that's just right there.
Right.
Because even as it was going on, I'm like, so your whole safety precaution, you're going to have orderlies come in who are not trained to fight or anything. Like, you know, I just felt like they're in danger's way with this crazy guy.
Right.
I'm thinking when you've got this guy there, you've got armed guards with guns at all times. No, you've got, you know,
who are there Bob, for only one person.
Yeah, you've got Bob the orderly there, skinny, no training, whatever his name is, walks in, and then obviously McAvoy can manipulate him. And then it's like, oh no, but we've got lights.
Right.
It's like, no way.
No, we don't.
So anyway, I just, my God.
Either way.
Yeah.
So and then we see the glass that.
Every time the lights flash, it switches one of his 23
correct,
personalities.
To somebody
and
else.
And so they end up like funneling
you
through to
all.
Get to the most docile one or
right.
whatever.
Well, they're always trying to get back to Patricia. The kid or like the mad New Yorker guy.
Yeah.
Like those are the three.
Yeah.
Plus
I wouldn't
the
think
beast.
You'd want the mad New Yorker because
you don't want Patricia
kinda,
either.
Well, but I felt like the mad New Yorker thought that they were all stupid
was,
and irritating.
Yeah.
So he didn't like,
he wasn't
he didn't
on board.
Want any part of it.
But I think I could be wrong here, but I think one of the characters flipped and I thought it was the mad New Yorker guy was on the beast side in Split.
He was.
And then in this one, he's, against the beast.
Yes.
So he's changed like, his mind.
He doesn't want anything to do with it.
Okay.
So all of our characters are here. We see Glass. Elijah's there as well.
When we finally see him,
he's
but
sedated.
He's sedated.
Right.
They're
because
like,
they know
he's too smart. He's a super genius, and he will plot his escape.
He's all right. Well, and he already has.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So Sarah Paulson, her character, is just kind of like, look, she gives them all legitimate reasons why their powers
aren't powers.
Yeah.
They
when they all come together.
Right.
Well, yeah. Visually, I like this scene. So each one has a color.
Yep.
So you've got Glass is purple. You've got David is green. The Beast is yellow. And then they did it on this like salmon pink room.
Uh-huh.
So it really popped. Visually, I liked this. When I was watching the movie, this is the first time after all the David Dunn action stuff and the interesting stuff, I'm like, oh, God, move along. Because for like 15 minutes.
There's a lot of Sarah Paulson.
For
15, very talky.
15, 20 minutes. She's,
I was really interested in the talking. Like I liked how she was explaining away their powers and
making them question it.
Yeah.
Right.
No, and I felt the same way. I liked it too. And then knowing why she was doing it, I really liked it. I just meant like we had seen the action. It was interesting. And now it's so talky. I'm like, oh God, is this whole movie now for an hour going to take place like in this room?
Right.
And we're not going to get anything else interesting before the climax or something.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, oh, it's slowing down. But when you get to the end and you find out why she was relating all their powers to real world, explaining them away.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that it all comes together.
And it makes them all question themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, with the exception
especially
because
like part of what I liked about Unbreakable was that he was a superhero. But,
barely.
But just barely.
Right,
he did have powers. He had two. Yeah.
So it's not like he was overpowered or anything.
Well, I would say he had three.
What was the third one?
Well, he can touch people and see that they're bad. The strength.
Yeah.
And then that he had physical strength of being able to, like, the actions he could take. But he also, I felt like a separate power was the strength of, like, you couldn't break his bones. You couldn't.
Oh, okay.
See, I don't think he can't die. I think. Well,
oh, no,
obviously,
no. I mean,
he's
like,
obviously
by being bludgeoned or
whatever.
He's Wolverine.
Yeah. He could get cancer. He could like. I feel
oh,
like he could. Still,
I see,
yeah,
I
feel like he would still be. I didn't feel like he had a healing factor. I just felt like you couldn't penetrate
I kept thinking the kid was going to have powers.
I kind of felt like they were alluding to that.
I thought the kid was going to be the new supervillain or the new like.
Well,
oh, really?
I'm going to get
$40 million opening weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a version of events where that transpires.
I think he's the hero. I mean, I don't think that kid's not. That kid isn't going to turn into the villain.
Yeah,
he's
no,
going to be the hero.
I get what you mean. I just meant like I was thinking at the end when we're talking about origin stories and we'll get there soon. But I thought it was going to be his. Remember, he goes to the villain rack and he's looking at comics and stuff. And I thought like, wow, he's going to kind of go crazy with the death of his dad, and he's going to turn into now.
I can see that. I mean, he goes to the villain rack to see that if I can connect the parents to the kid.
That who were their parents, and now he does have a superhero parent. I
get it. Yeah, that makes sense. So all of our characters are here. They go to this therapy session, but at the same time, Elijah keeps kind of sneaking out, but nobody can figure out how he's doing it.
I like this because I'm like, okay, how is this happening? Is there someone else at play here? Come to find out,
it's not Elijah.
Not been sedated.
He has not. I do like the scene where the guy's like, if I drop this flashlight over your legs,
how tension filled was that?
That's what Shyamalan does have a talent at building tension because
holding it there
if I let it go, it'll shatter every bone
He lets it go, but in slow motion, and you're like, holy crap. And then with the loud sound and everything, and it's like boom, but it's like
so
after that we find out
he's been cheeking his pills.
Well, the technical term is the old switcheroo.
The old switcheroo. And I do like that even Sarah Paulson's like, we saw you get out, so we've installed cameras all over the place, so we'll never be able to catch, you know, you'll never be able to catch us off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But he does. That's because what's what he does.
Because he's a super genius.
So he goes and he meets with James McAvoy. He ends up getting to Patricia and just like, look, you want to get out, I want to get out. There's this new building that's being built in downtown Philadelphia. She has, at this point, like, even the other personalities are starting to question if the Beast is real. So he's just
like this, that Sarah Paulson has made them all, well, not Glass, but the other two are actually questioning whether or not it's a delusion. Yeah.
Right. So he just kind of says, the best way for us to show the world that we are real is for you to fight the Overseer. Overlooker? Overseer.
Overseer.
Overseer. Overlooker's a hotel.
Overlook, right. But yeah,
is to fight the. Like, yeah. There's going to be press here. Everybody's going to be here for the opening of this building.
And this is such like a comic book villain type thing. Showdown at the world's largest.
Right.
Like, it's awesome.
So, and they're just like, "Are you in?" And the guy's like, "I'm in."
And I hope for your sake, the Beast likes you.
Right,
like that. Or
so, we cut back to the next. We're going to do it tonight. So they come back the next morning, and Sarah Paulson
We saw you get out last
night. We saw you get out last
night. Procedure is now.
And they started and they
We should say, she says basically, we're going to lobotomize you in 3 days. You won't lose anything about your creativity or your personality or whatever. But basically, they're going to take a part of his brain away.
The frontal lobe. They reference that David has an injury to his frontal lobe, which I don't think he actually does. I think that was a doctored MRI.
But I think to explain away this, they're using head trauma.
Right.
But it wouldn't be surprising if he did.
No, hell no.
You know?
Yeah.
So they do this procedure. They think Elijah is sedated again. Shocking. He's not. Elijah is Lex Luthor. Like, he's always 5 or 6 steps ahead. So he
I love this, his whole plan, because you see what happened.
Right. He takes out the knight that he breaks in and talks to the Beast. Is he's already got it timed. Like, he's like, all right, this guy's going to leave it. This orderly's going to leave it this time. And then the other orderly's going to pull up with his car's going to backfire. And
this is a product of a backfiring muffler.
And that's how he got out. Yeah. Like, and that's because the sound of the backfire covered the door opening. And this guy takes forever to get to his post. So he knows exactly how much time he has.
But he goes to the surgery room and we see what he did.
He breaks the machine.
He reprogrammed the machine to whatever. He takes out the glass that the laser goes through for the procedure so that it can't actually do what it's supposed to
and
do.
And he does something on the computer.
Yeah.
We don't know what that is. Just a bunch of code.
I like that. Yeah, really quickly he's typing and there's a code. And you don't know if they're related to what it's going to be.
Right.
But it comes back around.
We cut back.
I love things that kind of hide in plain sight.
Which is what he does.
Yeah.
That is Shyamalan's MO to a... I've said this before. Hitchcock was the master of the twist and the thriller. Mm-hmm. I think De Palma sort of leaned into
Hitchcock was the master. I don't really remember too many Hitchcock movies where there's like an amazing twist.
I guess that's true. I guess just the tension and the thriller.
Yeah, it was just upping the tension.
Yeah, and then De Palma kind of followed suit for a while. Fell off the rails in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I think because of Psycho, everyone just thinks, because that twist.
It's a good twist in the beginning. That's
most
true.
Most famous. Well, at the very end. I mean, that's not the twist. Is the end.
There's a double twist.
Because
they kill off a major character.
A character you never think.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a twist.
Oh, that was totally a
surprise. A twist is like...
When she's marketed that movie around her,
when people were going to see that movie originally.
For her.
Yeah.
And she dies in the first 30 minutes of the movie. Like, no, that was... They reinvented how people saw movies.
Right,
like, up till then, people would just wander into a movie whenever.
Like, don't do that.
And they were like, you can't do this because they knew people would be like,
where's Janet Leigh?
Am I in the right movie? What's going on?
Who played her? Was it Scarlett Johansson?
Anne Heche.
No. In Hitchcock. What's his name? Hannibal Lecter.
Oh yeah, Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins. Like it was. I think it was Jessica Biel maybe, and Scarlett Johansson. Like, I think Scarlett Johansson was Janet Leigh, and like his wife was not a fan.
Was she Janet Leigh or was she the lady from The Birds?
The same gal, Janet Leigh. Isn't that Janet Leigh in The Birds?
I don't think Janet Leigh's from The Birds.
Oh, maybe.
So
anyway,
yeah. This all started because Joe likened Shyamalan to Hitchcock.
He is. I mean, like, that's kind of what he was, though. Like
Tippi Hedren.
Thank you. He was he kind of leaned into that, where it was just like, and then he leaned a little bit too heavy into that.
Well, the thing is, he can't live up to that. He pigeonholed himself because when you make a huge movie and it's your first movie and it has a twist, and then you do it again, and then it's like he became the twist guy.
I remember a lot of people being very unsatisfied with Unbreakable.
It's not a big twist.
It's not a big twist. And honestly, if you know the genre he's playing in, it's really not a twist at all.
No, that's true.
It's a natural conclusion of the things he set up. Like, I don't really feel like it was like I remember watching it being like, and being like, I feel like you think you blew my mind, but you didn't blow my mind.
I think for the most part, I mean, being a comic expert and predicting things is one thing, but the fact that Elijah's the one that caused the train accident, that created him as a superhero, like, I think on paper, that's a twist.
I get it, but not for sure.
But not a Sixth Sense level twist, which is what people were wanting and expecting.
I mean, Sixth Sense, that is a mind-blowing twist that he was, I mean, that is...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's expertly done. Yeah. That's the thing, is like there's no point
It doesn't cheat.
It doesn't cheat.
It holds up on
and,
multiple
and
viewings.
Anybody that's like, oh, I saw that the whole time. No, you didn't.
You're so full
but
of
he
it.
Did.
There's no way.
But he did a twist in every movie for a long
Which was
time, right?
He did a twist. He
Signs
he hasn't
his
stopped.
Daughter, Unbreakable. It was
well,
The
so
Village.
Was the, yeah. They're
but,
in,
but he does, I mean, it's twist after twist.
But all of his, with the exception of Airbender and After Earth.
Well, that's when he started taking gigs for
those
hire.
Are,
that's when
but,
he had
the,
to start taking
in the
paycheck
films,
movie.
In
yeah.
the films that he created.
Yes, yes.
There's
every,
always a twist.
Always.
It, always.
And I think he became a prisoner of that.
I agree.
That's
and,
exactly.
And people would walk in basically saying like, well,
let's figure out the twist.
Yeah. And yeah. like, so that it was practically impossible to really trick people because they were anticipating.
Yeah.
It,
right.
You know, I mean, I remember seeing commercials for The Village and was like,
oh, it's real time.
Takes place in present day.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like,
you called
like,
that.
I'm like, I like he's going to, what other twist could there possibly be?
Right.
This movie never took place in the past.
Yep.
Like that's,
and then Lady in the Water is just like,
I never even saw that one.
I never did either. I have no idea.
The Happening was plants. The Visit was, it's not their grandparents. Spoilers. Yeah. And then Split is, it's an Unbreakable movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
but that's, I mean, Split is really the only one that doesn't really have a twist. As much as it's
yeah.
just like a,
it's a reveal as, that oh, he was abused,
yeah,
but it's
the,
not a twist.
The twist doesn't really revolve around the plot of the film.
Not at all.
Like, you could theoretically tack that last 3 minutes onto any movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's the Avengers ending.
Yeah.
Let me
tell you about the Avengers initiative.
Yeah, I don't count that as a twist at all. That's
no.
just surprise.
Right. So, this one, so Elijah, they get out. So, they kill the guard, which I thought was really, like, I liked that kill where he just kind of takes his key and zip. Like,
no.
Oh, no, it's the mirror.
Piece
it's
of glass.
The, yeah.
The orderly comes in and goes, hey, your pictures are crooked because he's been there so long. He has pictures. Elijah has pictures in his room and everything. And he's like, those are crooked. You know, and he's also probably thinking that's not like you. You're
right.
Very, you know, and then he sits in front of him. He like kind of climbs over his wheelchair and he looks at him and is talking to him. And all of a sudden, real quick, yeah, cuts his throat with the glass.
It's very fast. And I like how fast yeah. it is. And how
and his name is Mr. Glass.
It's brutal.
He killed him with glass. Like,
ooh.
That's.
So he lets out. Hedwig, that's the kid's name.
Yeah.
They get out. They go get, I guess he gets himself dressed in the sweet suit.
Yeah.
I guess. How does he get himself dressed if he can't?
Maybe McAvoy helps him?
Doesn't. No, McAvoy is going to take out the orderly.
Now, in Unbreakable, Elijah's walking around with a cane in
yeah.
some scenes, like when
he's
you know,
in,
the train
he's in the,
scene.
He's in the wheelchair.
Oh, because he falls down the stairs.
Right.
So.
Remember he goes to see Robin Wright Penn.
Right, right, right. Okay.
Robin Wright, I guess it's not Robin Wright.
Yeah,
anymore.
We don't talk about that whole thing.
But yeah, he's in a wheelchair okay. from the time he falls down those steps when he's following the guy with the gun. He's in a wheelchair.
I guess
rest
if your legs
movie.
Are disabled, though, you can still dress yourself with your arms.
I guess that's true.
Right?
Yeah, people,
so,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
there's no, he's sitting on the bed. He,
and he's not, it's not broken. Like, he's not breaking. He's not, he doesn't have an active break in his body. I
right.
will say that flashback scene with him in the Tilt-A-Hurl.
Yeah.
Whew. Oh my
Again,
God.
Again, tension building, right?
Yeah.
You know it's going to come. So that scene I thought was really good at flashback.
Right.
Kid is at a carnival. He walks himself on to the Tilt-A-Whirl type thing or whatever.
Tilt-A-Hurl.
Yeah, the thing where it goes in a circle, but the bigger thing is in a circle. And you're.
It's double circles.
If you're big, you sit on the outside because you would crush a, like a kid
right,
if they were
right.
on the outside because it what's the word? It flings you
well,
to the
you spin
outside.
It. It's the centripetal force.
Yeah, it's spinning and
yeah.
the whole machine is flinging you to the outside. And so he has two big stuffed animals. At first, I'm like, why is he bringing two stuffed animals onto this ride?
Oh, no, I saw it instantly. I was like, uh-huh. oh, that's smart.
Right.
Smart
well,
kid.
I mean,
I think this kid might be a genius.
He takes his shirt off and ties it around the
yeah,
front of
the for
thing.
The heart,
yeah.
for the bar. Yeah, but I mean, it, for a second, though, I just, at first, I'm like, I don't get that. But I'm like, oh, he's Mr. Glass. So yeah, he's then banging into the animals, no big deal. But then he's having fun. He sees his mom freaking out, and then he looks down. The stuffed animals have gone to the ground. The shirt flies off,
and then as soon
boom,
as he hits,
just,
well, he hits. Oh. I think he grabs first.
He tries to hold on to that
and
bar.
And it breaks.
Yeah.
His arm breaks.
But
then he
slides.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then it cuts. The camera kind of pans up, yeah. and his arm's all jacked up.
And again, sound mixing. When you see this movie, whether you're seeing it in theater, hopefully it has good sound, or at home, turn it up.
Yeah.
Like every hit is so hard.
And it's crunching.
Yeah.
Like if they turn up the crunch, the bone mm-hmm. crunch on this one.
It's hard to watch. Yeah.
It was. So, yeah. So they're going through the.
It was hard to watch that sound.
No, hard to watch the scene.
I was just funny because
it had Batman 66 was like popping up on the smash and crush.
It was just funny because you're talking so much about how good the sound is, and then you're like,
no, the scene,
the sound was hard to watch.
No,
sound typically is hard to watch. It's true. Unless you're on LSD.
So we should also say that I wish I could remember this actress's name, but the main actress from Split comes back. Mm-hmm. And she goes to the same high school that
Are you talking about music
That's
superstar?
Haley Steinfeld.
As I reminded you a few episodes ago.
I have to look this gal up. She,
you said you'd know her. She's.
Did you recognize her?
Yeah,
from yes
Split.
Or no. Okay.
From Split, right, yeah. I recognize her because she has a thing where her eyes are so wide. She has a very distinct face. Her eyes are wider apart than most people. I think like Amanda Seyfried, also very beautiful, but like Amanda Seyfried's eyes are set further apart than the typical person.
Yeah.
And so
she's got kind of bug eyes going on.
True.
I think she's attractive.
She's very attractive. Yeah.
So not that she needs my permission one way or the other.
But when they show up, you just, something, their face jumps out at you.
You can really see like the bulbous nature of an eyeball. Yes.
And I think this girl's the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anya Taylor-Joy is her name.
So anyway, this girl,
we're critiquing, not criticizing.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So Casey is the character's name.
Okay.
She comes back and she realizes, like, Sarah Paulson kind of realizes that there is a connection between Casey and Kevin. Mm-hmm. Kevin being the original personality for the Beast. And when Casey touches and embraces in a loving way Kevin, James McAvoy, he reverts to Kevin immediately. Right.
Because he was abused as a child.
No,
he was never
love.
Given love.
Right.
And so, and at first you think like, oh, well, this is really what's Stockholm syndrome or something.
I did think the same thing.
But
I was like, oh, she's going to be the villain.
But
she's
more,
the reason.
But it's compassion. It's that he let her go because he realized that they had both been abused, and she realizes that this person, although he's doing bad things, it's like he was abused. Like she feels that compassion for him being the victim of abuse.
Right.
And so she's like, I want to get that Kevin, the real good person, back that was traumatized. And so throughout the movie, she, as someone you think would be scared of their abductor, it's like, no, she realizes that she can help this person. And
she tries. And I do like that she's wearing a Philadelphia Zoo jacket, which is where she was kept in the last
movie. At the end of the last movie when they found her, they gave her that jacket.
Right,
and
she's still wearing it. So Joseph tries to get his dad out, which I thought was a very funny scene where he's trying to explain all of it away. And she was just like, you know, you're an idiot, right? And he was like, fine.
But I'm also like, so this woman took that many pages of notes in real time as she's talking to him, because she's going to the bottom of the notepad.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
That's a lot of notes.
It is, but if you know shorthand,
that's also
a lost science.
It is a lost science. My grandmother used to write in shorthand. It was very weird.
That's how you used to dictate.
Yeah.
That's how you could.
In court. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they would type shorthand.
Right.
They had
still do. I think in modern day.
Why?
I don't know.
Just seems
it's faster.
They got a union. Faster than a tape recorder.
Well, I mean,
well, they have to transcribe it for anyway.
I guess that's true. In claims court, there's no
stenographer.
There's no stenographer. In like with trials and stuff, there's a manuscript. There's a transcript of everything.
Because
they have
to be able to search it, and they can't have people listening to tape recordings. Like they need to be able to search.
It just seems like in today's world, technology would make that position obsolete.
You would think, but no, not the case.
I mean, my voice to text is pretty good.
They make good money.
I bet they do.
Yeah. So the fight ensues. They realize that they've turned off they've turned off the water to David's room, and David is also questioning himself. He's like, maybe I'm not this guy. Like, maybe it's just by happenstance. And then he hits the door one time and puts a giant dent into this door. He's like, all right. This is legit.
I like how Mr. Glass says this in true evil supervillain fashion. He's like, well, you know, we're going to go show off and kill thousands of people at this building reveal. And he's like, you know, you're just a normal person, so I guess you won't be able to break down this metal door.
Right. And
you have no powers.
He does. Yeah. He tears it off the hinges.
You see like the security footage from one of the 100 cameras they installed around
the
facility.
Everywhere.
And you see the door all dented up and David looking up at the camera.
Right.
So.
It just kind of gives him like the finger. No, he doesn't give them the finger, but it's like the look on his face is like, I told you I could do this stuff. So he gets his poncho and he goes outside and the fight is on. Like it's a good fight. Like Glass is kind of just like, you know, doing whatever. We should say that Joseph did some research And figured out who Kevin Crumb's parents were.
Yeah, so when he's in the comic book shop, it's really cool. There's heroes in a green neon font, again, David's color,
right.
Villains in the purple font, and there's all these comic books, and one of the comic books under villains says, who are their parents?
Right.
You know, whoever this hero or villain is, who are their parents? So he does research, and he's like, holy crap, and you don't see it, but he's researching.
Right, who his parents are.
Yeah.
And he has a revelation, and Glass, while looking at...
his file.
His file also has a revelation as to who this person is. So, yeah, fight ensues, and the beast is getting the better of David. And then Joseph kind of jumps up. And this is where I was like, oh, okay, he's going to have powers too. So he's going to get involved. But he uses his brain instead, and he was like, your dad didn't leave you and didn't come back. Like, something happened to your dad. And Glass is like, hey, can you not tell him that right now? Like, that would be great.
Well, yeah, because the beast has his dad to rights, and to save him, he's like, you need to understand.
Know. And we find out.
Glass says, don't tell him yet.
Yeah, he's like, don't tell him yet. And Joseph goes through with it.
He wants a comic book reveal, like, at the big right. showdown or whatever. You know?
Right. And so Joseph kind of says, look, your dad was on the train.
He wasn't taken. He was bandersnatched.
He was, right.
he wasn't just on any train. And we go to the flashback, and as soon as they show him on the train.
I was like, it's a little cutesy,
yeah,
but I'm fine with it.
No, I dug it. I'm like, as soon as he's on that train, I'm like, holy crap, who's going to be in the next seat over?
Right.
And then very good editing. It goes behind a train seat.
You never see it. Like, you never see the case that says Crumb. But the camera pulls back so far ahead that you can't see the case anymore, and then it cuts into the opening scene of Unbreakable.
Yeah, and it like pans over
very smoothly,
right?
And you
very
see the scumbag Bruce Willis with his wedding ring talking to the girl
talking
about
the hot,
her in
talking
in,
to the hot girl about
in Style
magazine.
We had a whole thing about it.
Yeah,
he's such a creep because he takes his wedding ring off and he's trying to hit on the girl.
Yeah.
So it's a cringeworthy scene, and so we watched it with the commentary,
and he was just like, "Hey, where are you going?" She was like, "I'm married," and he was like,
"Can I have my Style magazine back?
Can I get that back?"
He doesn't say that. We.
But yeah, so we find out that Glass
created both,
and he killed Crumb's dad, which led Crumb down this path
to be with his mom.
Because the what his dad was doing was going to see a doctor to get help
for his
disorders. Mother.
Yeah,
for the mother, because the disorders hadn't taken part.
Yeah,
yet.
To stop the mother
the,
from
the disorders come in after the dad doesn't come back.
Well, because he was holding a pamphlet that said DID, which is...
I think the mom had it.
Oh, the mom had it. Oh, okay.
And like,
I thought it was starting to manifest.
No, and I think the abuse... I thought that at first, but I think it was the mom, and then the mom abusing the son brought out that disorder. Oh,
yeah. Because they say that Kevin created the beast to protect him from the mother.
Right.
So I like this, and so... Now the beast is mad, and of course he wants to turn and kill Glass for creating this.
Right.
But then Glass flips it around, and he's like, hey, if I didn't do this, like, it was unnecessarily evil, I gave you the beast.
Right.
And, you know, and
the beast rears back and just punches him as hard as he can.
Well, he crushes his shoulder first.
Right, right.
And he screams out in pain, and then he punches like his ribs.
And he punches him in the chest and caves his whole chest in. I do like also the scene where the cops are trying, well, the quote-unquote cops are trying to stop David, and like they push him back, and then all of a
four
sudden
on one
again, very brilliant camera work
feet.
Where it's just feet and you see him, like, David push
four
him,
SWAT feet and David's feet
pushes,
and then pushes
him
back
him,
yeah.
And then he takes he pushes him into like a shipping container and takes like a giant steel rod and wraps it, you know, Superman style,
Yeah, this is another good fight scene. I really liked, one, the stationary camera on the car at the beginning, and then the beast lifts up the car. The camera is stationary, and you see the people in the car,
right.
And you see McAvoy's head, and as he lifts it, you know, his head's lower and lower because he's just lifting it.
Right.
I liked that shot. And then I liked the close-up on the ground when I think McAvoy was on top of one of the SWAT guys, and the guy's under the glass.
Yes,
and
that was a
good
shot.
And you see him try to scrape at the glass, and then you see him take another guy's head and bang it against the glass. It's weird using glass because not the character, the glass of a riot
shield.
And then the guy's like breath is fogging up the shield.
That was a very good shot.
I like this showdown.
This last scene.
The showdown that it is not that you is not the showdown before the showdown.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is the planned showdown.
Yeah. Which I like that. And the whole time I was when they were like, this is part of the problem with seeing too many movies when they're talking about Osaka Tower or whatever it was called.
Yeah, you were like Nakatomi,
and no, I was just like, I'm like, no.
It wouldn't be a Japanese or a Chinese name.
You don't got the budget for that showdown. I'm just like, sure. You don't got the money to film.
We're not going to film
that showdown. That ain't going
to
be a thing.
We got the money to look at a painting of it.
Right.
Yeah. Over the distance.
A really bad CGI building.
And then to me, like, I wasn't even thinking of budget, but I'm like, this movie is almost over.
Right.
And they're not to the showdown yet. So I'm like, oh, they're never going to the showdown.
Right. No. So Glass is mortally wounded. Casey is there and she kind of latches on to the Beast, and she grabs him immediately and just starts hugging
him. Turns him into Kevin,
and they have a moment, and
then
boom,
sniper.
I like this scene a lot too, because you're not really sure where these characters are going to go. Mm-hmm. We know we're probably going to lose Glass at this point. And then you see like the little dot, like it's not on Kevin's chest, it's in her hair.
What are you talking?
The sniper dot. Like, you see it.
Oh, I never even saw a dot.
Yeah, because she was starting to light up red, and I was like,
there's a little dot in her hair, and you're just like, what the hell is that? And then
it's like you see it kind of before that, and because it's not a dot, it kind of casts a glow.
Right.
And at first I thought it was like a cop car showing up.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And then it kind of like focuses in, and I was like, somebody's about to get
and it's
going
to be one or the other.
Yeah. And now this is after the water fight. The Beast takes David into underwater, and we saw earlier in the movie the flashback that he references in Unbreakable about the kids holding him underwater and he almost dies, and so he is now submerged in a tank. It busts open.
He's just laying there.
It was a good struggle, and so now David, because of that, is incapacitated.
Right.
So we go from Beast being shot, Glasses out of it, and now David is next to a puddle, and we see who we think are the police.
And they grab him and start shoving his head into the water.
And we also see a tattoo on this guy's wrist. Right. So you're that's an interesting tattoo.
Right. And then, so Sarah Paulson.
One thing I hate about these movies, though, is it's like, if you're a part of a secret organization,
don't put a tattoo
maybe get
on.
It a little higher up on your arm. Yeah. I hate the wrist reveal.
Yeah.
Because if you're supposed to be blending in, people are going to notice when your sleeve goes up at any point.
Right.
Accidentally. Like,
hey,
don't
where'd you get
put
that?
It there.
Where'd you get that non-suspicious black clover?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then Sarah Paulson kind of leans down. She's like, David, grab my hand. And I was like,
yeah.
And then
you see a restaurant full of people and her in her like white outfit.
Right.
To stand
and
out.
I do like that. Like one person gets up and walks away.
Yep.
And then they all stop talking. Yep. And we get the explanation that she's like, give me 3 days. If I can't convince them, we'll go to plan B.
There is a super villain organization.
Right.
Total comic book move. Once again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of a secret
organization. It's the Legion of Doom.
Yeah. And so we find out that the whole purpose of this program.
So the waiters are in the super villain.
Yeah. I think it was a super villain restaurant.
Yeah. Mm,
that was my interpretation.
Like a cover restaurant where there are people that come in. But
like a meeting place.
Yeah. So you don't have to tip.
You don't have to tip.
Because you're a villain.
Right. Well, if you do tip, you tip like a penny.
Right.
Get a real job.
A villain doesn't tip. No. A supervillain
tips a penny.
Tips a penny.
Now the supervillain union makes sure they're paid well, right? So the waiters are paid
well. They're waiters, so they give, instead of making $2 an hour, they make $3.
Well, they make minimum wage.
Waiters don't make minimum wage.
Well, just at the supervillain cafe.
I see. Okay.
So we find out the whole purpose of this organization is to stop people with powers, but they're not just trying to kill them. They try to either convert them, which is the 3-day mandate they've given.
Right.
So Sarah Paulson, her job, she's come into Philadelphia, and they do this all around the world. She's given 3 days. You either convince them that their powers are delusions, and you either subdue them, tranquilize them, brainwash them, whatever.
Do whatever you have to do.
Or after 3 days, they put them down. Because they realize it doesn't matter if you're good in your mind or bad. Super villains, superheroes.
You are upsetting the
balance. I like the fact that they're not, it's not a villainous organization.
No.
They're against anybody with powers.
Right.
They think they're doing the right thing.
Right. That they're like, we can't let this be a thing. And I also like the fact that their first solution is the simplest and least violent,
not
which is like, let's convince you
that you're not
you don't really have powers.
Right.
That this is a mental disorder
and
that it was all just coincidence. And, you know, like
she says, we don't want to kill.
Right.
We try to avoid it. Yeah. But I also like to talk because it's kind of what Mr. Glass has been alluding to and what he has done now. And we find out twice, but he feels that he did create David, but because he was trying to find his polar opposite.
Okay. David was already there.
But he created him by the train.
Brought David into the light.
Yeah, created the superhero, or else he would have, who knows if he would have ever found his power, right? And so they're polar opposites. And so this leads into the fact where they're like, to Tom's point, it's like, we don't care if you're a villain or a hero or whatever in your own mind. It's like, one of you shows up, the good guy shows up, the villain shows up to stop him, and vice versa.
So where was the villain for the Beast? Or the hero for the beast.
Well, I don't know that it was a one-to-one. They're just saying that if the beast is bad, a good person will come to stop
him. If you have good powers, if you're going to use your powers for good, it almost inevitably attracts
a
superpowered villain. Sure. I mean, it's the same Batman theory of, like, people descend. You know, you have these crazy rogues gallery people because he's a magnet for them.
Right. So,
I mean, this is very Batman 89. I mean, in Batman 89, Joker creates Batman.
And Batman creates a Joker.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. So Joseph freaks out because now his dad is dead.
Hard to watch.
And the
thing in my mind, I like that he did this because, I mean, this is life and there's not always a happy ending. But the Beast and Mr. Glass both get to say goodbye to the ones they love and talk to them and stuff.
David does not.
Is just drowned in a puddle.
Yeah.
I mean, because his son is right there. Each hero or villain has their companion that's kind of on the other side or whatever. You know, with David, they're both good. But it's like each one has their person there. And David is just drowned. Uh-huh. Cold-blooded. You're drowned. No chance to say goodbye.
I think that's the one that they were worried about the most. Like, he's the one that's the strongest.
But while his son watches, his dad dies.
Right. So he freaks out on the cops. Sarah Paulson kind of covers the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. She goes back to a restaurant, just kind of says, look, shit went haywire. Like, we couldn't save him. It's taken care of. We're going to erase the camera footage. It's not a big deal.
On to the next city.
So she goes back to this little control room, and the guy, she's running, you know, everything. She's like, yeah, everything's deleted, but there's this code in here. And it turns out that all of the camera footage.
Well, what she says, because she thinks about what Mr. Glass says about how he had a plan the whole time.
Right. He's like, this isn't the end of my story. Like, this is the origin story.
It's an origin.
And she asks him. She goes, "It's all deleted, but did anyone download it before it was deleted?" And the guy finds the code. We saw Glass type.
It was sent to three different everything. Well,
it was downloaded to a private server.
Yeah, and it was
Hillary Clinton.
Damn it.
So
what about the emails?
So
this is the scene where I was like, oh, she has powers. Like, I thought when she's walking down that hallway and she screams, I thought all those windows were
gonna scream was stupid. That was the stupidest thing in the whole movie.
I like the idea of her being really mad because they got her.
I get the idea of her being mad, but that scream was stupid when there was no payoff. Like, if everything would have shattered around her,
that's the
payoff where she has powers and she's.
I never thought she had powers. I just took it as it's a dangerous job
to take if you have powers.
Because they're ruined. She's in a super secret organization that's trying to cover up powers, and now they're done because it's public. Like, she knows that it's on a service.
I honestly thought also there was either going to choose those windows were going to shatter, or she was going to get shot in the back of the head.
Yeah,
like those were the two options I thought, but instead we get the.
I wanted
scream.
To after,
but
the
it
scream.
Was kind of an FU though, because we saw the security footage, which were cameras she put up, which allowed her to be foiled.
Right. So it was a nice.
Eliza, he still tricked her. Right. He was still nine moves ahead.
Everything that was the cameras and going down through the basement. Hallway.
True supervillain fashion.
Everything was planned to capture everything on
You're right. During the scene, they're like, oh, he's stupid. He shouldn't have taken the basement.
Right.
He won't get out in time to get to the tower.
He had no intention of getting
more
out
cameras
in time.
If you go the long
route. Right, right. So then we cut to Casey. We cut to Joseph and Elijah's mom. And Elijah's mom working off like an original iMac.
Yeah, I know, right?
She's an old lady.
I was like, could that even get on the internet?
I don't
think it could.
No, I liked it.
Download all those files? Absolutely.
Your parents don't get the latest technology, and she's an old lady.
That's a lot.
It's like a 20-year-old computer.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, would it get on the internet in today's world?
It would get on the internet, but I don't know if it would download those files.
Yeah.
It'd
still be downloaded.
I liked it. I mean, it was a choice, obviously. These people have access to computers. It was a choice to give her one. So I'm like, I liked that the old lady had antiquated technology. Right. I feel like you go to your grandparents' house.
Sure.
And unless you've bought them the latest or whatever, it's like, dude, what are you doing with that tube TV? Like, you know, they just.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So yeah. So all three of our characters get all the video files.
Yeah.
And then they upload. We cut back to the train station and we see Casey, Elijah's mom, and Joseph.
I liked that they were all working together.
Yeah. And they just kind of say, how long has it been? She's like, well, it's been a couple hours. She's like, well, how long is it going to take? And Joseph was kind of like, right about now.
See, and I thought they were waiting for someone to get off the train that would become
the
new
superhero
or
something. I thought we were waiting for heroes, but it turns
out
they uploaded the footage and
the public.
Everything is revealed. And that's how it ends. Like, it ends with the three of them holding hands, sitting together. And
they took down the organization that killed their significant others,
right.
their family, like
important
friends,
loved
whatever.
Ones. Or,
yeah,
right,
and
yeah.
So it's like that's a nice wrap up because, again, I mean, for sequels, for whatever, if someone got off the train and it was the new hero, I get how they'd want to set that up. But I like it better that it's like this is the end of the trilogy. The origin story that Mr. Glass is talking about, because he's like, okay, this isn't a special, it's an origin, whatever, yeah. The lingo, but he's like, this is an origin, so you're thinking, who's the origin? I thought at first it was Joseph, it was the kid, was the, his origin, and now he'll be doing whatever, but no, the origin of people powers and people knowing about people
right.
with powers.
I think this is opening the door for people who have powers yeah. to come
out. Their origin, yeah, not right. a particular hero, but it's the dawn of a new era, an right. era with people with powers, and it
so,
ends.
Yeah. So, yeah, we kill all of our main characters.
Yeah.
Wow,
which I also thought was gutsy.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I mean, but if you're making a trilogy and you know you want to end it,
totally.
There's only one way
no,
to end it.
No, from a commercial standpoint,
sure,
to kill
sure.
the three main characters. One, okay, two, wow, but it's like...
You kill
wow.
your hero, too.
Like yeah, I mean, they killed everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think this deserves the hate that it was getting.
I don't either. I mean, there are certainly things to not like about it, but at the end of the day, if you don't already have a love for this type of movie or comic books in general, I think this movie has nothing for you.
And if you wandered right. into this, it would be pretty trash.
Yeah, you have to already... be up to speed on the
both
language
of these movies and comic book lore
and the tropes of these these types of stories for this to work
right.
But you know what
right.
I bet you he made it for people that love Unbreakable and love comics.
They're out there.
I mean is he didn't make this to be Avatar. He
absolutely.
Made this to be
right.
a sequel to Unbreakable,
which is why they made it for $20 million.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
it's gonna make a ton of money. There's yeah. a lot. I think there are a lot of people who would truly love this movie.
Yeah.
I just think there are a lot of people that will look at it and be like, what were they thinking? And, yeah. and I don't think either one of them are wrong.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can follow the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers. And of course, you can, if you haven't done it already, how are you getting the show every week? But you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. And of course, if you like it so much, you want to throw a little money at us, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the Chief smothers McMurphy with a pillow.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.